Welcome to Formation. Today we'll be having a conversation with one of the most charming people I've ever met. Join us. Hello, I'm Shannon Moore, and this is Formation, a podcast of University Christian Church in Fort Worth, Texas. And each week I sit down with someone and just talk about their faith. And today I'm so excited to have with us the one and only Janet Pummel. Janet, I am so happy that you agreed to do this because you are certainly one of my favorite people. And I think that a lot of people would say the same thing, that you are one of their favorite people. I don't know anybody who doesn't love Janet Pummel. And so I just wanted to give people the opportunity to hear a little bit more from you and talk about your faith a little bit, and certainly your music. You are our senior organist here at University Christian Church. And I always start out by asking people about their childhood faith, like what kind of church did you go to, or did you go to church? What was it like for you?
It was like so many people. Every time the church doors opened, we were there. My daddy was a bass, wonderful bass singer, and he sang in the church choir, which rehearsed on Wednesday nights, and the choir sang on Sunday mornings, but we also came back to church Sunday evening.
Well, of course.
Yes, of course.
What kind of church was
it? It was Methodist. Oh, Memorial Methodist Church in Andrews, Texas.
Is that West Texas?
It's West Texas, and we lived out 7 miles west of Andrews, and we were about 17 miles from the New Mexico line.
Okay.
So we were way, way out. And so that's where I went to church all my growing up years. We moved there when I was 3, and from Oklahoma, where I was born. And Means Memorial was a great church to grow up in. I loved it. I loved the youth program. But most of all, my biggest memory, or my earliest memory, is thinking about walking into Sunday school, which the hall was right behind the organ, where it was a Hammond of all things, but it was an organ, and the speakers were right against that wall. And every Sunday morning when I came into Sunday school, I would hear the organist practice. And it was just like a feeling of something from heaven. Even as a child, it's a very vivid memory.
You were drawn to that sound.
Yes. And it's interesting, I loved it when I was on the faculty at TCU across the street. I loved coming in early in the morning and hearing the organ at Ed Landreth being practiced. And it always brought me back to that warm, fuzzy childhood Sunday school experience.
Oh, I love that so much.
It was special.
So, may I ask what your folks did for a living? Or
yes, my mother was a stay-at-home housekeeper and mother, and my dad was the field superintendent for a gas company.
Okay.
Actually, he was superintendent, but he was the only employee in Andrews County, and he had to oversee all the gas wells and take care of them and do all the things that you do to keep them running. And they had little colored paint that I would go with him on his chart run once a week, and he would check, and the colored paint would tell how much gas it was producing or not,
right?
And when, and all kinds of things. And
I was just curious because when I hear West Texas, I wonder if it was a ranch.
No ranch. There were lots of ranches around. I spent lots of time with friends in ranches, but I was out in the middle of nowhere.
So you're going to church, you're drawn to the sound of the organ. Mm-hmm. How did that translate into your becoming a musician?
I guess it was sort of built in my family. My two older sisters were musicians. My oldest sister was an organist, although she was out of the house when I was born. She was 19.
Oh, wow.
But every time she came back, they would have her play for church. And my middle sister, was a pianist and a singer. So, and of course, my daddy was bass, and we oftentimes would sit around in the evenings, since that was before TV, That's how old I am. I didn't get a TV till I was a senior in high school. But they had been around. We just didn't buy one.
Right.
But we would sing hymns and saw popular songs. And
so there was a piano in the house? Or mm-hmm.
Oh, yes. We had a piano. We had an old upright until I was in middle school. And then then it was called junior high.
Right, right.
Then we got a spinet upright, and I thought I had gone to heaven. I had this beautiful blonde piano that was just so, it was just gorgeous to me.
So did you start taking, did you have a natural, were you able to play by ear and that sort of thing? And then
I did. I don't remember it, but my sisters and parents told me about the story of all of that. They did start piano lessons at the age of five. But what happened with the organ is our church organist became very ill when I was 12. And I had taken all those years of piano, and it was pretty far along. And so they came to me and said, you know, she can't continue anymore. We need to have someone to play the organ for church. What do you think about learning to play the organ? And it's like, oh, yeah.
Finally, somebody asked.
And it was just a whole new world. It opened up so much. And I got to play for choir rehearsals. And we did, I'll never forget my junior year in high school, we did the Seven Last Words, the Dubois. And it has a big organ thing in the middle that's just so much fun. And I loved that. I would have been an organ major, but my piano teacher that I had in high school was in Odessa, which was 35 miles away. My parents took me twice a week after I kind of outgrew the local teacher. Mm-hmm. She was great at first, but just for beginning students only.
Right.
But he was a very pushy teacher, and he had big sights on my doing all these wonderful, being a concert pianist and everything. And of course, I loved the piano too. So I ended up majoring in piano, and most of my career has been piano performance and recitals accompanying collaborative piano. That was my position at TCU. I was head of collaborative piano, played for choirs.
Didn't you start that program?
The day I retired is the day I got notice that the Master of Music in Collaborative Piano had gone through all the committees all the way to the top, got the call from my chairman, Dr. Gibson, and he said, guess what? It's gone through. And I thought, okay, I'm going to go come back and see Dr. Gibson a little bit later today and let him know I've accomplished what I wanted to.
That's a full circle moment.
It was. Mm-hmm. It was. And I walked in with my piece of paper and said, I'm going to retire June 1st.
I love that. That's a great story. I am curious. You had your piano teacher in Odessa. Who was your organ teacher?
Actually, it was the wife of my daddy's boss, who lived in Big Spring, which was 60 miles away from Andrews. And so we drove twice a month, starting when I was 12, taking organ lessons I took from her until I graduated from high school. And then when I went to North Texas, where I have my bachelor's from, I minored in organ, so I had organ lessons along with piano.
Oh, great.
And I had a church position when I got to North Texas. There was an opening at a Presbyterian church. Oh, my goodness, I forgot the name of it. It's a big Presbyterian church downtown in Denton. And I got that position, so I was the organist. And I actually played organ all through college except not all through college, my first 2 years. Second year I transferred to Texas Tech, met my husband, and he was graduating. And I gave up organ for a while because I married into the Church of Christ.
No instruments.
No instruments.
Oh, what a big
Big change. Put my mother in the hospital. I don't know if it's because of that or because we moved to West Virginia, which was across the country. I had transferred to Tech my second year because I was so homesick for my parents and for Andrews and home. I wanted to be closer. Ironically, by going to Tech, I ended up the third year in at Ohio University.
Oh, my
But
goodness.
We lived in Parkersburg, West Virginia. He took a job at a Church of Christ college. And so this is, I don't know if we have time to tell this funny story. It goes along with my faith growth. I was christened in the Methodist Church twice, actually, as a baby. And then again, when we went through the middle school, junior high, 12-year-old class or whatever, I wanted to get baptized again. I just felt like I needed to. So christened or whatever you call it.
Sprinkled,
yes, thank you. So we get to West Virginia. The president of the college, his wife, knew that I had not been immersed.
Mm.
So, and we were living with them until we found an apartment. So first day we get there, after dinner, she comes up to me and said, now that you're coming to the Church of Christ with your husband, you really need to be baptized, immersed. So... I mean, really, I am so well baptized. Maybe that's why I just have such a close connection with my friend upstairs. Or friends,
so
I should say.
You got dunked.
I got dunked. And so we went in the evening. Actually, that very evening, we went to the church. This was like the second day we had been in Parkersburg. And we went to the church, and so they decided it would be very nice. We were newlyweds that my husband, Doug, would baptize me. So I thought it was great. So, yeah, we did all the things, got down in the water, came back up. And so the wife of the president said, oh, that didn't work. You've got to do it again. Your hand didn't go under. And so I got baptized again.
And you've been baptized four times?
Yes. It was a beautiful thing. I'm laughing now.
Right.
It was so meaningful and so emotional. And I think that one thing has probably, you know, gone through my whole life in my marriage. I mean, every marriage has moments.
Mm-hmm.
And I think because of that, plus the fact that he helped me birth four babies,
mm-hmm.
we've had 61 and a half years together. And I have to give him credit for holding things together at home while I work here. But, yeah,
well,
that's a long story. But
I love it.
It's
thank
part
you.
Of my journey, and
you.
I think it does mean a lot.
It does. Thank you. And now I know why those hands are so blessed, because you got it under there. Well, we're going to take a short break.
Okay.
And
That was already fast.
I know. And we'll come back with and continue our conversation with Janet Pummel. The members of University Christian Church have a message for you. You are valuable, worthy of love, and already part of what God is doing in the world. We invite you to join us Sunday mornings for worship. Traditional worship in our sanctuary at 9 and 11, simple worship in the chapel at 9:30, or visit our 10:10 service in Walker Hall. We are a church of open-minded people who value curiosity and recognize we don't have all the answers. We strive to be open and honest about where we are on our faith journey. And we practice compassion and generosity. All are welcome at University Christian Church, where you can experience Christ's courageous love for yourself and learn to carry that love with you wherever you go. Discover more about our programs and upcoming events at universitychristian.org and stay connected by following us on social media. Well, we are back, continuing our conversation with Janet Pummel. Janet, we were talking about your experience moving as a young person from piano to organ, and I'm curious, when was the first time you said there was a Hammond organ at mm-hmm. the church where you grew up? Mm-hmm. When was the first time you experienced a pipe organ?
That's a very good question. My first cousin was organist at First Presbyterian in Tulsa. And that's another beautiful, happy, wonderful memory. Plus, there was a pipe organ in my parents' original home in Bristow, Oklahoma. And so when we would go back and visit, I would hear the real instrument itself and was falling in love even more. Mm. So I always knew in my heart of hearts that even in the Church of Christ, that someday I would come back to it.
Mm-hmm.
I will just close that other chapter real quickly. I loved being in the Church of Christ in so many ways, because I learned so much, but the singing is fabulous.
Yes.
It's just wonderful. And I think that made me a better organist. We were in the Church of Christ after our marriage about 4 or 5 years, and then gradually we, because he's a church musician now also, mm-hmm. or many years was, we ended up in the Methodist Church in Urbana, Illinois, where we were both in graduate school. And he was the choir director at First Methodist, and I was the organist. All those years after that, I either had a church job or I was kind of the sub for many churches mm-hmm. in the area, as happened here. But at UCC, my first position here was in 82. I was Betty Bowles' assistant for a few years during the 80s mm-hmm. here at UCC. And then I went to other places, but then I was at First Methodist for 10 years in the 90s. But then I came back as Kyla's assistant in 2008.
Okay.
And I was there till 2014. And then back after I retired, shortly after I retired, this position opened up as a full-time position. And it's something I had always prayed about, being in a full-time organist position mm-hmm. after I retired from academic work. But never dreamed in a million years it would be right here.
Right.
But the organ that we have in this church is, I guess the best way I describe it, it is like a, it's like when you turn it on, it's like the Holy Spirit comes to life. Mm. I mean, that's how I feel. I feel like when I'm practicing and when I'm there on Sunday morning, I just feel so at one with everything, God, the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. Jesus, the universe. It's just, it's a connection. And sometimes in my practice, all of a sudden I'll just kind of get cold chills and I'll look up at the cross and just absorb that moment. I just feel like I'm so blessed to be here. And I love everybody on this staff. I mean, what a way to finish my career, to be in a place like this.
We are certainly blessed to have you here, too. And you and I have worked together quite often, particularly doing funerals.
Right.
We've often joked that we could open our own business
right.
of doing funerals. And
we got it down pretty pat.
We do. And I am always so, I want to say amazed. I don't know if that's the right word, but there's a way that you play, Janet, that just touches mm. our hearts. It touches our spirits. And, you know, there's with the piano, which I play around a little bit on the piano, there's this, I don't know, it's just a different instrument. Mm-hmm. And you are able on the organ to sound like any instrument. And it's just a beautiful gift that you have, and I hope that you'll share with the folks listening today what you shared with me once about your being the channel.
That's exactly, I don't know a better way to put it. I feel like I'm just, everything I do, I know I owe it to God and the Holy Spirit, and it just, I think one has to open up and let that channel open and know that it's there and trust that it's there. And I mean, I know not just at the organ, but just getting through life. Mm-hmm. I just know I've tried to keep it open at all times, because it's a matter of having your heart open to, and even in times when I'm not really thinking about it, it's always there, and I'm very thankful to have that.
It certainly comes across in the way that you play, because there's not a bit of vanity in your playing.
I hope it is
a gift. It's
I try to keep myself out of it.
Right.
That's when I run into trouble.
but that's what's so evident about it, I think, is that because you have opened yourself to spirit, to God, mm-hmm. and allow that gift that you've been given to come through you into the instrument and then out into the congregation, it's just, I think it helps form, you know, the name of this podcast is Formation, and I think mm-hmm. that your playing helps inform and to form all of our spiritual growth who are lucky enough to hear you play. So
well,
I want to thank you so much for that. We're about to run out of time, but I want to touch on two other things really quickly. One is your composing.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me a little bit about that and how does that...
Well, I think it stems from, again, being open to not being fearful of trying something new. I get a lot of ideas, and I'll just go back to hymns to start with. To me, the hymns are getting the words meaning something by the way the music is written and the way it's played. I think that's what we have to do to make the hymns come to life, to meaning to those that are singing them. And so I guess it starts with words. When I get a string of words, I start thinking music that fit with the words.
Mm-hmm.
And what I love doing is taking already written melodies with words and putting my own touch to it, or my own composition to it. So I am doing that on this coming Sunday. We have Women's Composer Sunday that American Guild of Organists is encouraging organists all over the world to do music composed by women. So I had already turned this in as my arrangement. A lot of times I'll put it in and I'll just put I don't like having my name, there. But in this case, I thought, well, I'll just go ahead and leave the name on there since it's Women Composer Sunday.
Okay.
So it's kind of hot off the press. I just finished the last touch to it this morning. So
well, we're looking forward to hearing it.
That'll be
for sure.
The communion music. I don't know if that answers your question.
It does.
And I have
one more quick question that may not be, I don't know if you can answer it or not. What's your favorite hymn?
Whatever I'm working on at the present time.
Okay.
I'd say
fair enough.
In this case, how can I keep from singing? How can I keep from singing? I mean, how?
I love it. Well, Janet, this has been such a pleasure, and I hope you can come back sometime.
Oh,
we'll do it again.
It's been fun. And, I was nervous, I must say.
Well,
I'd rather have a keyboard in front of me.
Well, maybe next time we'll do that. We'll just put a keyboard here. Well, thank you so much.
And thank you.
Thank you for joining us. If you would like to be a part of Formation, I hope that you'll let me know. Simply email me at formation@ucccftw.com. Love to hear from you. Have a great week.